Construction safety has become all the more important over the past 5 years as housing production reached heights not seen in more than 30 years. Yet so far this year, 27 construction workers have died on the job. Yesterday, WNYC began telling the story of one of those accidents. Jose Palacios, a Mexican immigrant, fell to his death on January 30th. He was standing on a scaffold on top of the roof of 525 Clinton Avenue, a new condominium tower in Brooklyn. The scaffold collapsed under high winds. According to Richard Mendelson of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the scaffold was secured with thin wire, even though the bolts that workers were supposed to use lay nearby.
They had the correct ties, and for whatever reason, they didn't have the correct tool to install those ties.
Today, in the second part of The Cost of Doing Business, WNYC explains that earlier this decade, the city's Department of Buildings instituted several measures that should have prevented just such an accident, but they didn't.
There used to be a large brick house built 100 years ago at 525 Clinton Avenue. It was a group home for mentally disabled adults. In 2005, Carnoosa Equities, a small real estate company, bought it, tore it down, and began building a condominium tower in its place. Amy Greer lives next door.
We are seeing a building that is entirely out of proportion with the neighborhood. It's a 14-story glass tower next to three-story brownstones.
Greer is not surprised that someone died. In fact, she feels a little guilty she hadn't done more to prevent it, even though, over the past 3 years, she called 311 eight times. In December 2007, about a month before the fatal accident, she placed another call to 311.
We woke up in the middle of the night and there was debris just slamming up against our windows. And my roommate at the time went out on the fire escape to try to pull some of it away from the window so that our windows wouldn't break.
But the buildings department didn't get around to responding to her complaint until mid-February, after Jose Palacios died.
If they had come and maybe checked out the building, there might have been a chance of finding what was going wrong.
Not surprisingly, the inspector didn't find any debris flying around. By that point, the job had been temporarily shut down because of Palacios' death.
I feel like since Bloomberg was elected, it's been just developers gone wild in this city. And, you know, if they don't have enough inspectors to come around and look at all these buildings as they're going up and make sure that the citizens of the city are safe, then they need to slow down the permit process.
It's actually pretty hard to answer the simplest question. Did construction safety get worse during the building boom? OSHA data shows that the number of workers who die each year has varied widely, from the low teens earlier this decade to a high of 33 in 2006. Last year, there were 14. So far this year, 27 workers have died. In any case, most people agree the number is too high. Since Mayor Bloomberg came into office, the DOB has beefed up its staff. He's hired 66% more inspectors, for a total of 461. But that still hasn't kept pace with the building boom. Permits in that time period rose by more than 100%. James Brennan, a state assemblyman from a nearby Brooklyn district, has proposed several bills that would strengthen the power of the buildings department and increase its responsibilities.
The inspection workforce is insufficient, or has been, you know, throughout the years, to get to every site effectively. If people are calling in concerns about debris flying, buildings ought to be getting there quickly.
Brennan says the fines the inspectors hand out have been too small and too easy to evade. At the time of the accident, Carnoosa, the developer, owed the city $27,000 in fines. In July, Carnoosa convinced the Environmental Control Board, the administrative court that adjudicates DOB violations, to knock one of those fines down from $5,000 to $1,000. And yet the developer has still not paid the other $22,000 in fines. Real estate lawyers say the developer will need to pay them soon because overdue fines show up on title searches and could hamper sales. But until then, Carnoosa has been free to continue constructing its building and has received new building permits to do so.
The ECB system goes on ad nauseum. The developer or the contractor ignores the violation notice and the hearing, or they request adjournments ad nauseum. And so the process goes on for a year or two or three with no significant impact.
Brennan does give the Bloomberg administration credit for beginning to reform the buildings department, but he thinks the city needs to do a better job enforcing new regulations. In November 2006, the city began requiring every scaffold that reached more than 40 feet above the ground to get a permit certifying it was structurally sound. Nevertheless, the scaffold that collapsed under Jose Palacios did not have a permit. A month after the accident, the DOB began sending a team of inspectors around the city to randomly see if scaffolds have permits. Even the stepped-up enforcement was not enough. Over the next 6 months, DOB records show that 7 workers got injured on scaffolds that either did not have permits or were not erected correctly. The DOB fined Carnoussa $1,600 on 2 separate counts of violating the scaffold law. That was a total penalty levied by the city in connection with the death of Jose Palacios. The Department of Health, by contrast, can fine restaurants who fail to post calorie counts up to $2,000. The developer had to pay 2 fines as a result, the only fines the city levied as a result of the death. Together, they amounted to $1,600. This summer, a new penalty schedule increased fines across the board, but they are still modest compared to the price of real estate. Without high fines and strong enforcement, Brennan says, there is no deterrent for sloppy work. Chances are an inspector won't catch you, and if he does, it won't cost much.
In addition to increasing fines, the Bloomberg administration also took other steps to address worker safety. In April of 2007, it began requiring buildings 10 stories or higher to be inspected once a week for safety violations. According to a Department of Buildings database, the so-called best squad visited 525 Clinton once, but never went back to check on the job. The city could not say whether or not there had been weekly inspections. In November of 2006, the city required anyone working on a scaffold to have 4 or more hours of training. Jose Palacios had not gotten around to taking that course. Gonzalo Mercado from Project Hospitality says that's not surprising. His group advocates on behalf of day laborers in Staten Island. He says often immigrant workers can't afford the training or are too afraid to go to any programs perceived to be government-run. He believes groups such as his own should be given funds to train and educate workers themselves.
We are like the safe space for them. So having ongoing workshops, having ongoing meetings to let them know what they have to do in case of these situations, I think are much more successful than just having a pamphlet.
The pamphlet Mercado refers to was handed out by the Department of Buildings after a series of accidents on scaffolds that hang off the sides of buildings. The uptick was taken seriously by the Bloomberg administration, and it prompted them to convene a task force in 2006 to look at the problem. Its final report identified widespread noncompliance with federal and city regulations and, quote, extremely uneven training. The New York Immigration Coalition, another advocacy group, was part of that task force. In August of 2007, prior to Jose Palacios' death, the organization wrote a letter to Mayor Bloomberg asking for $4 million to do the training. The request went unanswered. Now, with the city in dire financial trouble, chances are slim the money will come, but the immigrant group says it remains hopeful. Gonzalo Mercado believes the training is badly needed. Right now, he says workers only come to him after they've already been hurt.
It can be because somebody fell from a roof trying to repair a roof. We had a case of a worker who fell into the ground from the first floor of a house. They were doing demolition. He fell into the basement and lost a lot of blood.
And while financial forecasts suggest the building boom is over, Mercado says public officials should not assume that means worker injuries and deaths will decrease. Instead, he says during hard times, exploitation gets worse, and workers are willing to take even bigger risks as jobs grow more scarce.
Many times they perform very dangerous jobs, and they just don't want to say anything. Again, because either they don't know that they have the right to work safely, or they just don't want to get in trouble with their bosses.
In response to this story, Buildings Department spokesman Tony Sclafani emphasized the large number of safety initiatives the Bloomberg administration has undertaken. The scaffold was erected illegally, he said. If the department's rules were followed by the contractor, it would have helped to prevent this accident. But rules need some way of being enforced. Each time the Buildings Department comes up with a new one, it has taken a long time for officials to figure out how to catch the scofflaws. The random inspections of scaffolds didn't start for more than a month after Jose Palacios died, more than a year after the scaffold law went into effect, and almost 3 years after the city council actually passed the law. The Bloomberg administration made a commitment a year and a half ago of inspecting mid-rise construction sites every week. But it took 2 months for inspectors to check out Amy Greer's complaint. Buildings department penalties went up across the board in July, but they are still modest compared to the price of real estate. Meanwhile, more and more development is getting done by contractors in over their heads, like Bell Tower, or new, inexperienced players. Carnoussa Equities is a small company founded by two friends, an accountant and a construction executive. 525 Clinton is one of their first projects. They are expecting to gross $41 million from sales of the condos, according to documents filed with the Attorney General. Carnoussa would not comment beyond providing a broker to give a tour of the building.
I'm going to walk you down now to one of our one-bedroom homes.
The company was implicated in the OSHA investigation, though to a lesser degree than the stucco subcontractor.
Ample closet space.
Carnoussa ended up paying OSHA a $5,400 fine and hired another subcontractor to finish up the work.
You know, which is rectangular in shape.
Even if you add up all of the fines, including the OSHA fine that Bell Tower hasn't paid and the DOP penalties that are still outstanding, they come to no more than $67,000. That's about a tenth the price of the cheapest one bedroom in the building.
Every home has a minimum of 270 degrees views and a minimum of three exposures.
The units range from $650,000 to $3
million. They've been able to maximize the light and air, and I think they've...
Jose Palacios' niece, Yasmin Solis, says losing Palacios has been especially difficult on his wife and child in Mexico. She says her uncle didn't have much, and the little he did have was used to pay for his funeral in Mexico and to ship back all the things he had bought and was saving for when he returned home. Originally, the family had wanted to sue the developer, but so far a claim has not been filed. And Solis says her aunt got confused by the workers' compensation claim and has been unable to fulfill the legwork required to move it forward. Jose Palacios remains a presence in the house. His picture, adorned with rosary beads and paper flowers, hangs on the wall, and Solis's kids are quick to remember his good nature and playing hide-and-seek and soccer in the park. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.
And I'm Matthew Sherman.